Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. I am joined by two of my favorite NBA writers, podcasters, everything across the internet, NBA. They've got you covered. We've got Corbin Ford of Swish Theory of... Oh, man, where else do we go? Roundball Ramble, Basketball Intelligence. He's scouting now. He's all over the place. Corbin, how are you?
I'm tired. It's great. I love it. It's a lot of basketball, but it's a lot of being tired. But I'm happy to talk about my bros. So at the end of the day, you know, push past a little bit longer.
There you go. We live to fight another day here. We battle, and it's about to be some long nights here with the NBA postseason underway. And just a lot of ball to watch for the next couple of months. But also here, a playoff foul, Mr. Kenny Spence. Kenny, good evening, sir. How are you?
Man, similar to Corbin, I'm pretty exhausted. We're getting towards the end of my first year having and producing my own podcast. And the people who are not Chase and don't know how much work goes into that, you just wouldn't know. But, man, I'm excited to be here.
Look, to many more, sir. I hope you can keep it going and building it and everything else. No, it's good. It's a fun thing. I will say, yeah. Years go on, man. You see it more as like your kid. It's really hard to explain to people who don't have one or have their own thing going, but like you become protective of it. Yeah. You build it. You spend so much time thinking about it, putting it all together. It's just
you watch one of those things, man.
Yeah. You what?
You watch it grow up.
You really do. You really do. And many awesome things are coming Playoff Foul's way. So if you're not already, make sure you're locked in and subscribed to the Playoff Foul, one of the best NBA podcasts out there right now. So subscribe today. Speaking of subscriptions, if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you first and foremost, as we're going to be at 2,000 subs here probably by the end of the week, it looks like. So appreciate you guys checking us out there. Like and subscribe. And comment below if you are watching us on YouTube. We appreciate it. And also, if you are listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you hit that pause button right now. If you're a subscriber and you like what you hear and you have not already done so, leave us a 5-star rating and write us a review and why you like the show and why you think other people might like it as well. It helps other people find the show and it helps this very show continue to grow. You can also email us at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com for any future NBA mailbag questions you might have that you could want me, Corbin, or Kenny, what am I doing, to answer on a future episode. Feel free to please hit us up at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. No Chris Walter this week, but we'll get Chris back next week as well. But a lot of NBA stuff here to talk about, fellas. So we get an immediate reaction show to Corbin's Lakers winning the first play-in game of this 2024 NBA playoffs. Corbin, your immediate reaction to the Lakers putting away the New Orleans Pelicans late in this one in New Orleans?
I'm not surprised. We do. We're supposed to do. Just kidding. I mean, listen, you know, you never know. I know there was some erroneous tanking philosophy out there that made zero sense, and shame on y'all for thinking that.
Wait, hold on. It made sense. The problem was not that it didn't make any sense. It was just like that you don't want to mess with the basketball gods. It made sense.
No, it didn't. You know why?
You haven't beaten the Nuggets this year.
You have to beat the Nuggets at some point if you're trying to win the championship.
No, you don't. Why do people say this? You don't know what the no, hold on. This whole thing of like it has to be the most pure title run and that you have to end up playing the best of the best anyway.
Not
no,
the most pure title run. You're the 2020 Lakers.
That's okay? Not how it works, though. Sports don't go
Mickey
like
Mouse
this.
Mickey Mouse championship. Mickey Mouse bubble. Like, if you don't do it, that's what happens.
Who cares? You got a title. You don't feel that way. It doesn't feel, people can make jokes. People always make jokes.
I remain unfazed. But here's the thing. I know what you mean from a basketball sense of like, you're going to be better. Like, the Lakers are better.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm getting delusional. At the end of the day, I think that it really is primarily basketball guys. You're a competitor. If you're playing on a basketball team, you are a competitor. You understand. Yeah. This team is quote unquote better than me, but you probably aren't admitting it. There's a certain amount of self-delusion that goes into being an NBA player or any professional athlete, anyone at the top of their craft, right? A certain amount of that, right? So, no, there was no chance. It was, like for anyone else who's not a professional athlete, it's like Michael Jordan when he says, you know, you wouldn't know, you never won anything. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, like at the end of the day, no, you play to win.
But the Pelicans may not have. Zion Williamson just left the game late, and he like just left the building with no wrap on or anything, according to the Athletic beat writer. Like
the next game, he can walk off into the offseason, right? Like at the end of the day, you put yourself in a situation where what if you go and let's say you're playing? Well, see, now I can't spoil it for you, Chase, but let's say a certain somebody decides to get hot in the game that you play against, and you can't guard him on your best days, and I definitely can't guard him. And boom, you think they could survive a torrid Steph Curry streak? You think they could have De'Aaron Fox going off for 44? Like, I'm just saying, you open yourself up to not even anomalies, but just big.
I mean, what?
Putting you down.
But the Lakers have done well against the Kings. Lakers are fine. No,
they have not done well against the Kings. They've not done well against the Kings. They've done average against the Warriors. Mind you.
Okay, that's what
I would have been okay with them playing the Kings as they are currently constituted, but I can't talk about it right now. The point being, the Kings, I think, right now are good. So, no, I'm glad we're not playing the Kings.
Are you glad you're playing the Nuggets? Like, you're losing the series. The Nuggets are not going down in round one. It's over.
Yeah, I went to that.
Oh, Kenny. What? Corbin's delusional. He's so excited about a win here. You just locked yourself into the defending champs. They don't lose in round one. This doesn't happen. This is not March Madness.
It's happened before. Look at the 2012 Mavericks.
I mean, sure.
I'm sure there's other teams. That's the only one I can think of in the moment. I went back a decade and a half to drop one. The Atlanta Hawks. Nope, they didn't win a championship. I don't think a team that won. It doesn't matter. Point being, I have confidence in my team, but we can talk about that later. But anyway, that's my thought. At the end of the day, yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Well, Kenny.
Didn't the Golden State Warriors lose in the first round? No, they lost in the second. Okay, I'm done. Kenny,
yeah. All right. It's pretty rare to go down the first. The first round's pretty rare. Kenny, what was your immediate reaction to the Lakers beating the Pelicans tonight?
You kind of knew they would, especially once Zion Williamson went out. It was a very fun game, though, because of Zion Williamson. Just put up the 40, just getting to the basket whenever he felt like getting there. But it's LeBron James. It's like what I've said on my show a lot about LeBron, like the reason you can't bet against him is not really just the athleticism and just the overall greatness. It's the IQ. He's just not going to go down in this type of situation.
Yeah. Corbin, when you look at how they ultimately won this game, how did the Lakers ultimately play their best basketball to take care of the Pelicans? Why were they able to win this one?
I mean, it was LeBron James to a certain extent. He didn't have as prolific a scoring night as he usually does against the Pelicans, but he played well. D'Lo made big plays down the stretch of that game. Hit basically the three to put them away. He finished 21 points and 6 assists. LeBron James led all scores, but D'Lo was literally right behind him. You also had, of course, 16 points, 6 assists from Austin Reeves. He had 20 points and 15 boards from Anthony Davis, who was quiet in the first half, kind of picked up a little bit in the second half, and then later on said, hey, it's because of his back spasm. Like, he'll be good by the time they play Monday, which is why I think they'll... Anyway, we don't got to talk about that. Point being... at the end of the day, it was a good team effort. And also, I think, and this was really good, but like for once in his gosh darn life, Darvin Ham just played the starters. Like, he did go to the bench a little more than I would like. 22 minutes for Torian Prince, 18 minutes for Gabe Vincent. Like, no thank you. But at the end of the day, 41 for LeBron, 40 for AD, 37 for D'Lo, 36 for Austin Reeves. Like, these big minutes on a team that you could get away with that. I don't know if you're able to get away constantly with D'Lo and Austin Reeves against the Nuggets. But with the Pelicans, you could, right? And for the Pelicans, I think they just, I mean, unfortunately had bad luck with Zion limping or leaving or whatever, because I don't know why. This is why I think he had some type of injury and was just not looking it when he played, because I don't think you walk off after scoring 40 points, having 11 rebounds, passing 5 assists, and then tying the game. And then that's when you say, all right, folks, I'm done. That makes zero sense to me. So I think from that one reporter's vantage point, William Guillory, shout out to him, like he didn't look, he was injured, but I think there was something there at some point.
It's just a tough look all around the board here, right? Like the Pelicans, I just feel bad because like BI's injury stuff, and you finally have a fully healthy Zion, and there's just this kind of, I don't know. We've talked about it. Like, I mean, they were number one in the West at one point last year. They have been a solid playoff team all year. They could have been in that top three in the West final standings late in the season. They've just flirted with being a real contender in the West. And now they're in a spot where, I mean, they're going to get OKC potentially, but they still have to win. They still might just miss the playoffs altogether. I mean, Kenny, could you see, like, is Willie Green brought back, for instance? Is David Griffin brought back if you end up not making the playoffs after being in the position that they've been in for really a lot of the last 2 years?
I think they both are. I think David Griffin's done actually a really good job. I think Willie Green is, despite what the Pelicans' records have been over the past couple of years, he is a very good coach. Now, coaches do get scapegoated a lot of times when they don't, when it's not really the right thing. So in that case, he may not be back. But my real thing with the Pelicans, and I don't want to speculate on anything, but Trey Murphy is just a much better fit for this team at this point than Brandon Ingram is. Obviously, Brandon Ingram is their best player. I guess you could say Zion sometimes, whatever the case is. But if they're going to make a splash, I think that should be the splash. But as far as the coach and the GM, I don't think they should necessarily go anywhere. I think you empower the guys who are coming up as far as the players go.
I just wonder now, I mean, like, is there any hope if they end up winning, whoever wins this Kings-Warriors game, do you feel good about the Pelicans being able to beat one of those two here? Or do you think the Pelicans end up missing the playoffs altogether based on what you saw tonight?
I think they could beat either one of the teams that are playing right now.
Okay.
I think it'd be either one of the teams that are playing right now. I think they're just a little bit more, because the Warriors haven't had any time to get any continuity. And I kind of saw what was going on tonight. I was asleep for the most part, but I can't say anything because we keep mentioning it. I'll have to tell the audience, Chase is recording the game, so we can't tell what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say too much, but I will say the team they end up playing, I have no real – I'm pretty confident they can beat them.
Okay. Interesting. See, I have no idea which way y'all are going with this. I'm so excited to be diving into this after we jump off here. But Kenny, the latest on the Heat going into the play-in here. So we talked about the injuries and everything that the Heat have – staved off here. Now they're right here towards the plan as well. Do you feel just as good you did a year ago about the Heat making another deep playoff run, or do you think this year just feels a little bit different? How do you equate it based on what you felt last year?
So last year, I admit I didn't think they had much of a shot once they got into the playoffs, because the Bucks just seemed like world beaters. I figured they'd be fine to play in. Even after they lost the first game, I just didn't believe in the Bulls that much. So I figured they'd end up winning there. But this year, they'll end up in the playoffs because they're going to end up playing. Even if they lose to the Sixers tomorrow, they're going to end up playing the Bulls or the Hawks, which I don't really. It's just the Heat are in the position they're in because of injuries. And even still tomorrow.
Sixers too. That's the story of that play-in game. It's just the story. Like, both are there because of injury.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they'll both end up in the playoffs in some way. I think it's just a matter of not going against the Celtics first. But I just feel like even still with Tay Rozier out tomorrow and Duncan Robinson out tomorrow, you just kind of never know. Now, the last time the Heat played the Sixers just got off to a crazy start. They must have shot like 70% in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that happening again. And so, but you never know. And Joel Embiid is still fighting his injury stuff, but the Heat have never in their lives been able to guard Tyrese Maxey.
Why is that?
They've always had trouble with quick guards. They just don't have the personnel. Now, it is interesting to have DeLon Wright now, and they didn't play DeLon Wright a whole lot last time these teams played, and Tyrese Maxey did go off. Maybe that's one of the things Spo has tucked away in the chamber, like he always has stuff in the play, for the playoff.
Yeah.
But I'm just excited to see it. But even if they don't win tomorrow, I'm pretty confident they'll end up in the playoffs.
So do you feel good, though? Do you think that they can win a first-round series at this all? Or is tomorrow kind of a sneaky must-win because you want the Knicks so bad? Because I think I'd probably pick them over the Knicks in a seven-game series. I don't know if I pick them over the Celtics. I probably don't.
So they've had Boston's number for years. With the series they lost in 2022, it was everybody on the team aside from Jimmy Butler got injured. And even still, Jimmy Butler was playing through a bad knee that he's saying during that series. So I don't fear Boston in the way most people kind of would. Now, they do have Kristaps Porzingis, but Bam has historically kind of just destroyed Kristaps. And so you never really know there, but I would rather even as
a... Why is that a bad matchup? Why has Bam been able to kill KP?
Quickness.
Hmm.
Especially now with Bam having the jumper. Because before it would be kind of like up and down, back and forth. But now since Bam added the jumper... there's just nothing KP can really do with them.
Hmm.
So it's a little tough for him there. But I just do feel like even still with all that confidence, I would rather to avoid Boston have them go against the Sixers because the Sixers probably just match up better against the Celtics and they probably have a chance of knocking the Celtics out actually. And so I'm fine either way, but I am a lot more confident against the Knicks, especially with the way that he guarded Jalen Brunson last game. Looks like they kind of figured that out. He was the thorn in their side last playoffs, even though that series only went six games. But if you can slow Jalen Brunson down at least half as much as they did last time these two teams played, I don't think the Knicks have much of a shot.
I don't either. So when you look at the game tomorrow night against the Sixers, what do you think the rotation, what do you think the five-man unit that plays the most for the Heat will end up being? Who do you think Spo is going to employ the most? Which five-man unit plays the most amount of minutes together tomorrow night?
So Tyler Hero, who's had a ton of success playmaking, really all season, but it's been kind of up and down with his injuries and stuff and like getting acclimated back to the lineups and all that. So it's going to be Tyler Hero, Caleb Martin, Jimmy Butler. Nikola Jokic is going to start, but... Mm. He'll probably be matched up with Tobias Harris, who's probably a little too strong for him. So Hayward Highsmith's going to probably get a ton of minutes. And then Bam, obviously.
Okay. I like it. What's your prediction? This is your chance to be clairvoyant, Kenny, here. Do you think they ultimately win tomorrow? Sixers have won eight straight. The Heat have won two straight. Who do you think wins?
I do think the Heat end up winning tomorrow.
Okay.
Because Joel has been still struggling with his injuries. And I think, and Draymond, I'm going to give credit to Draymond too. He kind of mentioned the pace he want to play at with Joel Embiid kind of getting back. And he's never been this great conditioned athlete anyway, but he's definitely not been conditioned with all the injuries. So if the Heat are going to play a lot of Nikola Jokic, they like to play fast with him in the lineup. And so if you can kind of make Joel Embiid run and tire him out in a sense, I think the Heat have a real good chance.
I love it. Corbin, your first round series you think will be the least competitive, and why do you think it will be?
Kings against Thunder, for sure. I just don't see... I don't know.
Hold, Kings against Thunder? We don't know it's Kings against Thunder.
It will be.
We don't know it's going to be Kings against Thunder. I don't... there's still another playing game after? You're throwing that one out yet?
I think the Kings... I thought whoever won the game between the Kings and Warriors would not have a problem with the Pelicans.
Okay.
Kings and Thunder. I'm just going to keep it there.
I don't know what you mean. You're foreshadowing something that I don't really, I can't put two and two together. I don't know.
No, it's fine.
It could be late. It's unfortunate that I cannot read the tea leaves of what you're saying, but it's not that I'm intentionally overlooking said tea leaves, but I'm struggling to follow.
No, that's fine.
So it got ugly,
bro. I haven't. That's all. I feel.
Got ugly?
Chase, I have no problem.
Are y'all watching? What show are y'all talking about?
Chase, just mute your mic for us. I need to talk to Kenny.
My mic. I need my earphone. Hold on. I'm just gonna get up and like leave the room here for a second.
No, I'm playing. You don't have to do that. I have it on, and that's all I'm going to say. Moving right along, though, I would say the Lakers and Nuggets, but I still believe. I still believe, okay? And we had the most competitive sweep.
Is that a Warriors comment?
Last
okay. What? Oh. We believe? Remember the Warriors? We believe?
No, I didn't,
didn't know that was a callback. Okay.
Yeah, that was a callback. Shout out to
the Oracle. Yeah. No.
Anyways, yes, the real ethical hoops place. But anyways, no, I would say probably, I don't know, is it, if we have a mid-off between the Cavs and the Magic, like I wouldn't say.
You don't think that'll be competitive? I think that'll be pretty competitive.
I was going to say mediocre basketball usually brings competitive basketball for some reason. Mediocre teams against each other for some reason brings competitive basketball. Mediocre teams against like good teams does not. But I'm probably going to go, who are the Celtics playing? We don't know yet.
Well, yeah, we don't. It could be the Heat, could be the Sixers,
Whoever the Celtics play.
Because I don't know, man. If they get the Cavs or Sixers, I mean the Heat or Sixers, I think that's gonna be a very competitive series. They're going seven.
The Heat could be interesting for them. I will say that.
But you don't think the Sixers would?
What?
You don't think the Sixers would be interesting with the healthy Embiid?
One, I don't think Joel Embiid's healthy. So, no, I think he tweaked his knee up a little bit ago earlier. Also, the Celtics historically give him problems.
Yeah.
And they have the personnel to also guard, Maxie. You know what I'm talking about. Maxie, thank you.
Yeah.
Say Trace Jackson Davis, what in the world? I'm tired. They also are able to guard Tyrese Maxey. So, no, I think that would be a nightmare matchup for Joel Embiid. I really, really do, right? The Heat will be interesting, but honestly, I don't think that they would. I'm sorry, Kenny. I respect you, obviously, as a friend, but like,
yeah.
I think the Heat this year are not the Heat from last year. Like, oh, just play out. We didn't see second half Jimmy Butler. And I think that's because he's cooked, and that's fine. He's a guy who he fought the Tibbs stigma as long as he could, man. Like, you play that many minutes, you're in your mid 30s. The fact he even turned it on, like, he found a way to cheat the Tibbs code by turning it off half the regular season the last 5 years to turn it back up in the playoffs. But this year, just like we see Steph has lost a step, like we've seen Jimmy lose a step.
Yeah.
So I think, and the Celtics have just the wing. I mean, they could throw Jrue Holiday on them, Jaylen Brown on them before they even think about throwing Jason Tatum on them. You know, outside of that, Terry Rozier still dealing with the neck injury. Won't even be playing against the Sixers. That was a big thing. Tyler Hill's been fine, but defensively, you know his issues there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get to the rim. And the Celtics are like, okay, please do both. You know what I mean? So honestly, like, I think that would be the least competitive. I think, and I say least competitive just because not the Heat won't give it a fight. It's the Eric Spoelstra coach team. It's guys who are like, Heat culture is a real thing. As much as I hate to say it, like, it's a thing. But the Celtics is just too good. And I think that's what it comes down to. So I would say the least competitive is if the Sixers make it past the Heat. Nah. I don't know. I can't think of anything else that comes to mind. I think the West is gonna be pretty tight all the way around.
I don't know. I think when you look at Kenny, is it one of the series that Corbin just named, or do you have a different one in mind that you think will end up being the least competitive?
I think with Giannis's injury, depending on how long he's out, I don't think they have much of a shot to compete with Indiana. Now, Tyrese Haliburton, and he's my favorite player in the NBA, but I have no issue saying he's been pretty bad since All-Star break. But I even still with Siakam and all that stuff, if the Bucks don't have Giannis, I just don't believe in them. And so I don't think they have much of a shot.
What if Giannis comes back in game three?
If he comes back by game three, even still, I don't know. Even still, I don't know.
Back to back first round exits.
That team has been bad with Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Are there two games under 500?
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah. Oof. I don't know what you do. You do all that whole like new coach, changing things up. You move on from Bud, and then you end up in a first round exit all over again. Anyway, you're right back where you started post Bud. That's a tough spot.
Three coaches in less than 12 months, basically.
That's rough.
Man.
That's rough. Kenny, first round series on the flip side here that you're most intrigued by and why?
What I'm most intrigued by is out in the Western Conference, and that's going to be the Mavs and the Clippers. I should go to a game since I live in Dallas.
Are you going
to
go?
I probably won't. I got stuff to do. I probably won't end up making it to one. But the Luka versus Clippers thing has been a thing since the bubble. That's one thing. Another thing is it's the teams kind of just did opposite things and they're meeting at this crossroad now to where the Clippers looked legit earlier in the year. And I don't know why I believed them at the time. I was looking back on it, but they kind of hit a skid. Russell Westbrook is back, and that's helped a ton, but the Mavs just really figured something out with the defense, rotation with the lineups and all that stuff. I don't know if the Clippers have that much of a shot. It kind of depends on Kawhi, and there was some neat stuff with him. But I do think if they're somewhat healthy, that could be a very interesting matchup, just based on the history of everything, and no team just really wants to go out like that. And so we'll see what happens. But I'm that's the most interesting matchup to me.
Interesting. Is that the most interesting matchup for you, Corbin?
I think it's, I don't know. I hate to belabor and go back to what the most interesting matchup is for me, but I think you have two legends of the game. One, a future three-time MVP, right? One of the greatest players ever. The yeah. greatest player to ever play our game. Yeah, I have to bat. Yeah. Like,
who are we talking about here?
Who do you think we're talking about?
I don't know. You said something about the greatest player of all time, so I was just like, he retired a while ago, so I just didn't know who you're
talking about. No, he's in year 21. I know you didn't know that. Yeah, him, that guy.
When we don't, but like when you don't, like when you throw out Michael Jordan as like someone you can't pick, that's when you say like he's the best. Like if you don't include Michael Jordan, then no, he's the best player. That's what you mean.
No, okay, we're gonna leave it there. I'm just gonna leave it there. I try to be funny. No, I think Kenny Bob, I think that's a good one. I think that I would have to agree with that. Like I honestly make, obviously, Laker fan, like come on, we know where this is going, right? But like, yeah.
I just look at, I mean, I think I go with Kenny. Like, I'm watching every game of Mavs Clippers. I think that's going to be, I think the what it means for both franchises could be crazy. Because I think there's just a lot riding on it. Luka might win MVP. He might not. But he's having this all-time great year, leading in points per game. He's been healthy. Kyrie, you've gotten a normal Kyrie year. And you just can't count on that year to year in this league, as we know. Like, you just don't know what you're going to have there year over year. I think they did solid at the deadline. I think this is probably the best this collective group has played together in the Luka era. I kind of feel like you have to take advantage of this because, I mean, you got to the Western Conference Finals with Jalen Brunson and Luka just a couple of years ago. There's a case. I mean, you avoid Denver up until the Western Conference Finals, potentially. I think we all agree that if they do get through LAC, I think they can get through Oklahoma City too. Like, I think if you can prove that, I think that's definitely in play with a young team like OKC. I think this is a sneaky big series because I think whoever wins this series is going to the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's a prediction I have right now, is I think whoever escapes this one will ultimately face Denver for a chance at the NBA Finals. But I also just, this is a big series for James Harden. This is a big series for Paul George. This is a big series for healthy Kawhi, who is now on Team USA. So it's just every day I'm just like, what is real with Kawhi Leonard? Why is he joining Team USA? If he's like, is he going to be ready for that? But he's not ready for like every, you're just, you don't really know what's going on with Kawhi Leonard day to day. So I'm just like, if he's healthy and you get, I mean, how many games does he have to play potentially for them to win this series? Like, does Dallas have any? I am so invested in the Clippers and the Mavericks here that I don't know, man. I look at this series and I think it can go either way. I would be surprised if it doesn't go seven. Can y'all see it going less than seven?
Yeah, I think the Mavs can get them out of here in six.
Yeah, I guess
the Mavs can get them out of here in six.
I think it's possible. Sure. Like, the Mavs almost did it before.
If yeah. they're hold on, if you are you saying Mavs in six if Kawhi plays every game?
Kawhi hasn't been the difference maker that he was in years past. He's been very good. He's been very solid, right? I think he's not invulnerable. And I think he's gotten older that's shown that. I mean, not that he did have like a Terminator thing for a bit. I think the Mavericks are a different level. And I think having a guy like Kyrie pushes that to its limits. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. Because before, you really just had Luka. And whatever Mavericks role player got hot. And maybe Porzingis could exploit a matchup. Kyrie's a problem, regardless. Yeah. Yeah, you could put Paul George on, but you also have to expect these guys to have the legs to defend Luka and Kyrie, and then also have the legs to sustain themselves in offense down the stretch. And if you're going to put anyone else on those guys, they're going to get lit up. Kyrie mm-hmm. and Luka are already going to be looking for Harden on mismatches anyways.
Yeah.
So I just think it's possible that, yes, and we also don't know. Kawhi is not healthy, like, at the end of the day. He'll probably play, but he's not healthy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, no, I can see the Mavericks putting him out there. All you need is Luka going off. What defensive stopper are they throwing out there? There's a Robert Covington, Nick Batum are long gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you looking down the bench, you got Terrence Mann. We've seen that story before. He smoked that Terrence Mann pack a while ago. Okay, he'll go back at it. But I'm saying we've seen that story before. He's too small. He said it in his face, right? Russell Westbrook will try, and he'll either try too much and get in foul trouble, or he'll gamble and lose, right? Kyrie going to light them all up. Like, I'm just saying it's possible. And that's before we talk about any Mavs role players who might decide to pick it up. So, yeah, it's well within play. Am I saying it's going to happen? No, I'm not. But I'm saying that the possibility is there, that the pieces are in place for that to happen. That's absolute truth.
Yeah, this is just a very complete Mavs team. And like you said, Chase, they haven't had this before necessarily.
Yeah. So
even outside of Luka and Kyrie, you have PJ Washington who can go off and has gone off at times this year. I'm not sure if Derek Lively is healthy or not right now, to be honest with you, but him as a roller, it's just a lot of different ways it can go. And then that's not even mentioning if Tim Hardaway decides he's going to get hot. Granted,
yeah,
you can't bet money on that. But
very true.
If he does end up getting hot, then it just opens things up for the Mavs in a way I don't know if the Clippers are going to be able to fight against.
I don't know. Are y'all both going Mavs here? Are y'all both saying Mavs in the series?
I'm going Mavs.
I'm also going Mavs.
I just feel like if Mavs win this series, you're looking at some crazy changes potentially this summer for the Clippers.
Hasn't signed the extension.
I mean, yeah, no extension for Chris Paul. James Harden's an unfree free agent, and Russell Westbrook has a team option or a player option rather. So,
and could be interesting. Also, don't the Pacers have money?
76ers do too. Yep, and both are looking at Paul George, like you said. They let this, and don't bet on my Lakers not making a move.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they go after a Trae Young, God help, or anyone like that, or maybe they go after a guy like a Paul George, an actual
Donovan winner. Mitchell.
Oh, I said an actual winner.
I think they're going to go after Hold on, Donovan Mitchell. The bubble happened. We all saw it. We were there. Donovan Mitchell, the bubble happened for Donovan Mitchell.
Round. I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, as much as I hate Trae Young as being a winner or anything, Trae Young's been farther than Donovan Mitchell. We do know this, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as actual winning happens. Would you be mad if he traded for Donovan Mitchell? Would you be mad?
Wouldn't be happy. Here's the thing. Donovan Mitchell's a good player.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell's a good player. Is Donovan Mitchell a winning player? And I hate to say in that type of way, Donovan Mitchell gets you points. Donovan Mitchell's a bucket. But defense,
a lot of guardy exits.
So exactly, yeah. he's like the Michael Jordan of Bradley Beals. that's my thoughts on Donovan Mitchell, the Michael Jordan of Bradley Beals.
Corbin's corner. The NBA thought that has you fascinated most this week, Corbin.
Playoffs, baby! Like we got a packed slate of games. I really want to see what teams come out. What's the most surprising? You know, I can't wait to read all the playoff previews that come out. Can't wait to consume all the playoff podcasts that come out. Like, I'm pumped for all of that. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm going to be hitting up Dunked On with their 2-hour show of every recap of the game after the game's over. I know I'm going to be, you know, going on like all of it. Like, just the content. As somebody who we're content producers in this space, right? But we also consume. We're all just NBA diehards. We like this stuff. So, like, now we're getting a bunch of it and all at once before it. Just we get weaned off of it as the playoffs go further and further. And then we got to look into what to do with our lives during the offseason, which is like the worst question I always ask myself. But like right? That's what we got to worry about, right? So right now, like, consume it. Like, take it. I don't even have a thought. It's really more of encouragement of, like, NBA folks, enjoy. Because it's going to be a lot of fun games every night, whether it's Suns and Wolves, whether it's whoever comes out of that Heat and Sixers versus the Celtics. As bad as I said that would be, as the least competitive, it's still going to be competitive. It's just relative to the others, right? Whatever with the Lakers and Nuggets, the rematch there, the storylines up and down, the Clippers and the Mavericks. I haven't even talked about the Thunder yet, right? Haven't even talked about Phoenix, really. You know, haven't talked about the Cavs, the Magic, the Knicks, number two. Like, there's so much good basketball, compelling teams and storylines out there. Like, enjoy it. You know, maybe stay off of Twitter with all the takes all the time and just enjoy the basketball. I mean, always go for the takes for sure, but just stay, like, the primary thing is the basketball. We have all summer for the takes. I can't wait to relitigate who's the best basketball player again, you know, come late July, early August. I just can't wait for that stuff, right? Or you know, when I'm seeing 12th man highlight reels of, oh, I miss basketball and arguing who did more with less. Yeah.
That one point in the offseason where we randomly get the what if LeBron played football question.
Thank you. Or Ramona Shelburne. What remember in 2015, LeBron almost joined with the Warriors again? Like, all the random big take stuff that's going to come, there's a time and a place for it. You know, we're all looking at 2K or I play basketball GM, whatever the case may be. Like, we always have this stuff. But
I'm going to spend the summer trying to get LeBron and Steph Curry on the same team. Like, that is, I already know that that's where my brain's going to go, is just like, let's let them ride out in the sunset together. That's just kind of where my head's going. I can already tell.
Mm-hmm. And there you go. And that's what I mean. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's a lot of that going on. And I think at the end of the day, like, I don't know. It will be a lot of that going on. Making things happen. I'll be making trades. Me and Kenny gonna be doing pods. Like, it's gonna be, you know, me and Chase gonna be doing, like, we're gonna find some way to make content at this time. My corner, let's just be a fan, enjoy this great game.
I like it. Kenny, what about you? Do you have an NBA thought or take or storyline that's been running through your mind all week?
Yeah, similar to Corbin's thing. It's just, and I don't mean to plug my show right now. We just did an episode basically about how the NBA right now is wrestling, to where every round in some sense, even including play-in, has some kind of drama and storyline attached to it. And so I'm kind of right there with Corbin as far as how interesting it's going to be, as far as stuff that's not even just basketball. We're talking about the Luka versus Clippers thing again. We talk about the Heat ending up playing against either their rivals right now, the Celtics, or their former rivals, the Knicks, or you talk about just there's so much different stuff. The Pacers versus Bucks and their stuff with the game ball and all that. It's like there's so much drama all up and down the playoffs and play-in right now. So that's my main thing.
I mean, there really is. And
Corbin looks like he saw a ghost, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
I don't want to – don't do this, Chase, Kenny, because I already know what it's about.
Chase, hold on.
The headphones are going off.
All right, Kenny.
Hold on. As we're going on, I'm going to take my headphones off. Just give me a thumbs up when I can take – I feel like a kid watching a bad movie with his parents where they're like, go in the other room and you can come back when they're – yeah, okay.
Okay, sounds good. All the viewers out there, and to Kenny, it's 111-89. Klay Thompson is 0-10, 0-5 from three. My bad, it's 113-89. Like, oh my it's God. A wrap, yo. Like, it's a wrap. And I mean, not even to go out with the bang, but a whimper. Yo, that's my real take. That's Corbin's corner, y'all. That's his corner. Okay, now we're done.
Wow, I wonder what y'all were talking about. That's cool. I have no idea. That was great. I didn't hear any of that. I'm very excited. I love it. Kenny, which is the better job right now? The Brooklyn Nets or the Charlotte Hornets?
Definitely Charlotte Hornets, 100%.
Definitely.
Because even though they're one of the worst teams in the NBA, they at least have some kind of direction. They're young. They expect to be bad. But they have LaMelo Ball, they have Brandon Miller, they have something they could potentially build on. They have a draft pick coming up. There is a direction they can go in. We've spoken before about the Nets and just they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
So is it a coaching job or a GM job? Because if it's a coaching job, I'm kind of done either way. no matter what. Coaches are going to get canned no matter what. But if I'm, let's say, a GM, definitely the Hornets. Because I have stuff I can move around. I can, like,
I mean, I and just
that game must be getting bad.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. This is great. Like, as we are recording these week over week, because there's gonna be games going on. But I just, it's funny that we're saying that, and I guess we'll see, because Charlotte has a new GM, and you know where he came from, Peterson. He was, I think, Sean Marks' right hand man up in Brooklyn. So I think there's a lot of like crossover there in terms of what will be the better job. I think Steve Clifford obviously moved into an advisor. He's going to have some sort of front office role there. But I look at both. And like you said, there's more foundational pieces in Charlotte. Like LaMelo Ball is there. Brandon Miller's there. But it's also like one of those things. I think you have more of a blank canvas in Brooklyn. Like, you have the one vet that you can count on that you know is going to play every game and is a really good player in this league. But he's more of a number two, number three guy. Best case scenario, like a Chris Middleton next to a superstar wing or a big like Joel Embiid or whoever. But you have a opportunity to kind of build and grow with a team that you want to grow with. Because I just don't think there's really anybody on this roster right now that you're like is untouchable, other than I guess Mikhail, because as we talked a couple weeks ago with the Rockets package that was rumored to go their way, clearly Brooklyn is not looking to move Mikhail Bridges anytime soon. But I just look at it like, you got to really like LaMelo, you got to trust LaMelo is going to be healthy, you got to believe that Brandon Miller has a superstar gear to him, because I think you are going to have to build around him no matter what. You have to be certain about where things are going with Miles Bridges. Is he part of the team long term? I think you probably have to be a good you have to have a good insight into do you want a rim running five like a Williams in this mold? Is he your kind of ideal center? I just feel like it's a long way of me saying I think there's a lot more pieces in place in Charlotte. And if you're a coach, you have to be a little bit more careful taking the Charlotte job, because this is kind of your roster. Like, they're gonna have another lottery pick, obviously, but they already kind of have a lot of foundational pieces, and it's going to be your responsibility to maximize this group. And in Brooklyn, there's not really, you're looking at it and you're like, hey man, these are not my guys. It's a weird hodgepodge of vets and traded assets and this, that, and the other. Like, let's clean house. Let's get this thing built in the image that I want. And then you can judge me based on that. I just feel like you have more of a runway in Brooklyn potentially than you will in Charlotte, because I think Charlotte's just pretty much done and trying to make the playoffs. Like, they were trying to make the playoffs this year.
But the thing with I would say, so in Brooklyn, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because even if you do decide to trade Mikhail Bridges, the goal would to basically end up where the Hornets are as far as the young foundational pieces. And even so, I don't think they're going to do that anyway. And so you're kind of just stuck there. So if you're the coach in Brooklyn, you could probably still be living under this facade from the front office that you're trying to win something or trying to get into the playoffs. And I just don't think they have the personnel for that. But in Charlotte, if you get hired as the coach, I think there's more of an understanding that you're here to develop guys and develop young guys and get them to buy into certain things. And then as that development happens, the front office, depending on who the front office ends up being or how they end up being, I'm sorry. So you kind of working together to develop this thing slowly. And if you build the players' trust and you see, and they start to see the development and what you're doing, what you're working on actually working somewhat, you can stick around. But I think in Brooklyn, you just kind of have no shot, because as long as Mikhail Bridges is there, they're going to tell themselves they need to win something, especially with his age. And when if he ends up getting traded, it's going to be for them to get younger and rebuild. And then you kind of just hope you have pieces like a LaMelo Ball and a Brandon Miller.
Interesting. I like it. What do you think, Corbin? Do you think it's Nets or do you think it's Hornets? You're the tiebreaker here.
I am also going to say Hornets. I think at the end of the day, Brooklyn, I was listening to a podcast earlier. I think it wasn't even a podcast. It was a YouTube video from Bobby Marks kind of breaking down. You have the seventh youngest roster for the Brooklyn Nets, but you also have five players. All their main guys are over 28. Whether it is Mikhail Bridges, whether it is I can't think of anyone. A Cameron Johnson, a Dennis
Cam Schroeder, Thomas.
Cam Thomas, 24 still, but yes, but no, I know what you mean. But and like, he's made improvements, but like, I don't see like franchise guy there. Like, they're stuck. They're just stuck with a lot of high end role players that they should have traded this offseason while they could have got peak value. Dorian Finney-Smith, another one. Like, at the end of the day, their best players aren't good enough, right? And the young players aren't promising enough. So you're just kind of stuck. Whereas Charlotte, I really wanted Charlotte to draft I really wanted Charlotte to draft Scoot Henderson, but they got to stud Brandon Miller. Got to hope for LaMelo Ball in terms of health, but LaMelo Ball is solid. Mark Williams is solid. Trey Mann's a young piece, right? Grant Williams is still mad young. You know, Grant Williams is still 25, going to be 26. Like, they have a lot of younger folks on this team. And so I just, yeah, like, at the end of the day, like, there's a promising future there. You know, a team that goes up, young, up and down, young, get after it, got new ownership, going to have upgrades to a new arena, a new coach. I mean, whoever they come in, it's coming in with a new infrastructure. Yeah, absolutely, you take them. No disrespect to Brooklyn, but they're not Charlotte.
Okay. Final thing here before we wrap up tonight's show, gentlemen. Corbin, case for and against the Detroit Pistons keeping Troy Weaver in place as a GM going into next season.
Why would you do it? Like, I just, why would you do it? What has he done? Like, seeing a brother there, you know, I guess that's helpful, right? If we're going to keep it $150, like, that's cool. But it's been losing, and they've been embarrassing. And so, no, like, it hasn't worked out for them. And I feel bad for Troy, yeah. But it is what it is. I really have a case for it. Why would I have a case for it? And I don't say that disrespectfully. Like, I don't see one. Wholesale change had to be done. You were embarrassing. You were a laughingstock of the NBA for half the year after thoughts were coming in that you would be, I don't know, halfway competitive. Mm-hmm. And that went by the wayside real
quick. I was one of those people. I thought they were going to be pretty decent.
I also believe that they'd be somewhere there.
Anyway, it's also like, it's also one of those things. I wish I knew what you guys were talking about. If only, but unfortunately, I won't know.
Chase, you'll never know.
I'm not. Well, thank you for the heads up. I'm definitely not checking the chat now. But it's funny too, because like Troy Weaver was like that guy who a lot of people wanted as their GM. Remember, like, he was in the Thunder front office forever. I think he was a Syracuse guy before that, and he was just an up and coming GM that people thought was going to be one of the next superstar GMs. And I just wonder how much of it is Troy, how much of it is like ownership, how much of it is, I don't know, bad lottery luck, how much of it is just, I don't know, like the Pistons not being able to get out of the mud is pretty brutal. I mean, they've been historically bad, but it's also like, how much of it was Troy Weaver to give Monty Williams the richest contract of any head coach in NBA, like, history? Like, was that a Troy Weaver move? And you don't have to do that. Was that an ownership of like, I am tired of losing, we're going out and getting Monty Williams, I don't care, we are raising the floor, I want to make the playoffs, screw the process, whatever. I don't know, like, it's hard for me because I wanted to read like a definitive piece on like how the Detroit Pistons operate as a franchise, because like one of the things about the Hawks is for a while now, I mean, there was a wonder about, was Travis Schlink still calling, did he have final say before Travis Schlink ultimately went to a different role and then out of the organization altogether? I just think there's a lot in a lot of NBA franchises right now, there's a lot we don't know in terms of the personnel dynamics in front offices. And I wonder about the Pistons being one of them where, yeah, you move on from Troy, whatever, but then is the next guy walking into a really dysfunctional situation where he's going to be set up to fail? That there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different voices, maybe ownership is just one of the worst in the NBA. I think that's going to be hard to overcome if that's the case. So for me, I just kind of wonder how much of it is Troy, how much of it is just bad luck, how much of it is against stuff that's out of his hands. But I mean, Cade is a good pick. I think no matter what, like, that was an obvious one, but I think Cade's going to be a really good player for a long time in this league. I think Durant is going to be a great player in this league for a long time. The Wiseman flyer was not good. I don't think James Wiseman's going to work out there. But I mean, Bojan was fine. Bojan was a nice veteran addition who was helping the offense a little bit. Sadiq Bey has been a good player for the Hawks. He was a good player in Detroit. Like, he's a solid guy. Mm-hmm. We'll see with Jaden Ivey. That was, I didn't hate that pick at the time, but I go back through like a lot of the Pistons moves. It's not like they jump out to me like, what are you doing? Like, we've seen some bad, like, Billy King era net stuff where you're like, what are you doing? We've seen some the worst of the worst with the Hawks, the worst of the Knicks, worst of the worst. Like, we've seen some really bad franchises operate in really bad ways. And it's obvious at the time, and it doesn't require a lot of hindsight. For me with the Pistons, I don't know if you feel the same, Kenny, but like, have you the last couple of years just been like, Troy Weaver, what are you doing? Because I just haven't really gotten that sense. I just think a lot of it's just gone catastrophically wrong, but I don't know if I necessarily can rip the guy because I don't think at the time I was like, what are you doing?
So the thing with Troy Weaver is you can't fully blame him because it's not him by himself, but you do have to kind of give him a lot of the responsibility because you got to give him credit for the Cade Cunningham pick. Cade Cunningham's a stud. Jalen Durant's a stud. Asar Thompson, stud.
Yeah.
Jaden Ivey, I wouldn't say stud, but he's a pretty good player. But out of that group and out of that young core, Cade Cunningham's your best shooter. And he has the ball in his hands, so that's probably not the best situation. And then you kind of have, like, the offense is going to stink, basically, because nobody can really shoot on a team. And then you give Monty Williams all that money, not really thinking about the history he has with young stars, and you put him with this young team that you're trying to develop. And it's just, there's not a whole lot where you can fully make sense out of it. And I do think that, and it's unfortunate, but it's a cutthroat business. You do just kind of get Troy Weaver out of there and just like deal with his young core and have a new guy come in and kind of put the puzzle pieces together a little better. That team needs shooting. First and foremost, that team needs shooting, and that team needs more of a player's coach. Because again, Monty Williams, and I like Monty Williams as a coach, as an X's and O's guy, but he doesn't have the best history with young stars. So you just kind of have to figure those last pieces.
Can you eat that contract? I feel like Monty's going to be there for a bit, man. I don't feel like ownership's going to get out of that anytime soon. They're going to eat that contract.
They might. To be honest with you, they might. It's unfortunate, but I don't want to just say, because I'm all for everybody getting their money, but he hadn't done anything to really like.
It was a desperation move where it's like, let's get someone solid. Like he was like the ultimate Doug Collins. I feel like he was a modern day Doug Collins hire where no one ever thought like Doug. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but you never saw Doug Collins as like the game changing head coach hire. Like no matter where it was in Philly, whether it was, I mean, all across the board with Chicago, like Doug Collins was just solid. You're like, he can raise our floor where I think he's a good coach. I don't know if necessarily he's a great coach, but like, let's just be a playoff coach. Steve Clifford is good at this. Like Steve Clifford up until this point, just always found a way to maximize his roster. And you never saw him as like one of the five best coaches. And like, he's not a SPO, but he's also someone who has had a lot of success in this league in terms of getting teams into the playoffs that we did not necessarily think was some of the best rosters in the sport. I don't know. I mean, Corbin, when you parse through, I mean, this is a lot of your bread and butter when you go through franchise management over the years, like has Troy Weaver ultimately been a bad GM? And what do you think he's deserving of another shot with another organization? Or do you think this has proven that he's probably not right for this role? Oh, you're on mute.
Probably for the best. I said the latter. I think it's been proven. I wasn't a big fan of Monty in general. I think that I think I liked him better when he was with what is it called?
Suns?
And better when he was with now. New Orleans. Okay.
New Orleans, okay.
I thought the Suns he did good, but I thought even then there was the way he treated DeAndre and the way he issued Jay Crowder, like behind the scenes. And I think he's a messy coach, but just I don't know. He does not get a managing.
Right about DeAndre.
He's good at managing egos. Maybe
DeAndre, like second half of the season, he was
balled out. And also, I feel like if you had just gotten DeAndre, didn't ask for much. It wasn't like he was demanding touches. He didn't want to be completely ignored.
Yeah,
and he was completely ignored. Like it's not like I mean, Ayton
set him the whole fourth quarter.
Exactly. Like Ayton went to Portland, and for the first half of the year, was sixth in terms of shot attempts. Like you're in a horrible Portland team. You're the sixth person to take the most shots. Like after every Portland guard there was, and Jeremy Grant, no complaining from him then. So then today, I think it was something to do with the coach. Then you go to Detroit and you stink up the court. Can't rally your team for nothing. Like not even being a bad team, just being historically awful. So no, I think that I feel bad for Monty Williams. I know he's gone through a lot. I understand that adversity, the ability to power through that as a person. I'm great. A lot of great people aren't coaches. I'm a great person. You don't see me coaching.
And as also remember, he was starting Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey, and that caused friction within the Pistons. And he had just gotten there.
And he just got there. No, exactly.
That was also probably the biggest miss for Troy Weaver, right? Like, I would say the Killian Hayes pick is the lottery pick was probably his worst.
Oh, yeah, that was tough.
Who did he pick Killian Hayes in front of? What was that draft? Killian Hayes draft.
I know Killian Hayes was 7th overall.
What year was that? 2018?
2020.
Was that 2020?
No, maybe it was 2019. No, I feel like Killian Hayes flamed out in 4 years.
Yeah.
He never got a second contract, so it was within 4 years.
2020. Yeah.
Yeah, right. 2020.
Okay. I know ball. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But yes, 2020.
So who went in front of him in that draft? Or behind him, I should say. Let's see. Because Ant went first. Obi Toppin went after him. Denny Avija. Oh, God. Devin Vassell would have been nice. Oh, it's Haliburton. Oh, you could just had Haliburton. Jalen Smith went 10.
Shout out to Jalen Smith. Still doing some work in Indiana. Probably going to get a second contract.
He's solid.
Killing Hayes can't say.
Tyrese Maxey went 21st. Quickly 25th.
Man, one pick after the Heat chose Precious Achiuwa.
Desmond Bane went 30th. The back half of the first round was actually really good.
Yeah.
Jay McDaniels, man.
For Killian Hayes to go from 7th overall pick to a guy who demands a trade, and the team is just like, nah, you know what? Just get out. This is a little crazy.
It's like the Frank Ntilikina all over again. Just he never put it all together. It's just really hard to work in this league if you can't shoot. Like, it's just really, really hard if you have nothing offensively. Not many guys can survive in that kind of role. Right. Kenny, what can the good folks check out from you over at the Playoff Island everywhere else this week?
Yeah, so we just dropped episode 28 earlier on this week. Still a pretty new show. And like I mentioned before, we drew the parallels between this play-in and the playoffs. And the it was by mistake, honestly. When I edited, I was like, this kind of goes together. But basically, there's a lot of parallels between the play-in and Attitude Era WWF Wrestling. And so I kind of found a way to, like, put those things together. And it was a preview. But we, at Playoff Out, we try to avoid doing things the way any other show does it. I think Corbin's listened before, kind of attested.
I love it.
Yeah. So
little twist here and there.
Yeah. And so so that's how we did that.
I love it. Go check out the Playoff Out today. If you're not already, like and subscribe, go do that. Support the good folks over there, like Kenny. Corbin, what about you all across the internet this week? What can the good folks check out from you?
You know, it's funny. I was just talking about, again, shout out to Kenny for doing a different, we're going to do traditional playoff preview. in a couple days, that'll be expected to drop. I need to post this. Man, I've been so busy just doing all the scouting things. I haven't really been focusing on, like, getting back to, like, the basketball part that I used to do. So I got to get back into that more. So I have a couple of shows to post. We had on Bryce Simons to do Detroit Pistons offseason preview. We had on David Williams to do the Memphis Grizzlies offseason preview. And that's myself and good friend Stephen Bagwell. And then, in fact, while he's in Portsmouth, he's actually staying. I was supposed to be there, but I'm doing another thing now. But he's actually staying with, in the same B&B that we were all going to stay in the same Airbnb with our next guest for the Wizards, Matt Moderno. So we're probably going to try to link up and do a show then covering the Wizards. So that's something to look forward to immediately. And then just a lot more off-season content, a lot more draft stuff coming up. We're trending more that way. We're just doing the traditional playoff preview because I just want to talk about the games and have excuse to talk about them. So, and I'm not as inventive as Kenny is. I'm very by the book. So, but yeah, find me on Twitter, also on Instagram at CorbinNBA, CorbanNBA.
There you go. Go do that today if you're not already. Keep up with Kenny and like Corbin this NBA playoff season. It's going to be a fun one. So, fellas, we will talk again next week. Enjoy this week's games. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to y'all very soon.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.